John chapter 21, let's stand together in verse number 1. I want to speak to you this morning about the Lord, the director of our lives. The Lord, the director of our lives. John 21, and let's read verse number 1 together. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the other side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Let's stop there and let's pray. And when you ask God to speak to your heart, even the title of that message, the message, if you can say, Lord, I'd like you to be the director of my life. Lord, I'd like you to be in charge of my life. Where you direct, I want to follow. Where you direct, what you tell me, I want to listen. I want to speak to you about the Lord, the director of our lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for each one that's here this morning. Thank you for the great songs we've been able to sing and the songs we heard the choir sing about This Is Christmas. We are blessed this morning to know you, to be able to stand here as believers, children of God, understanding and knowing about God's gift of salvation. And Lord, help us to dedicate our lives to you, to love you, Lord, to live for you. And even, Lord, to allow you to have your way in our lives, to let you be the director, to let you be the one in charge of our lives. Help us, Lord, speak to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The Lord, the director of our lives. Keep your Bible open and look back there to verse number 1. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise, in other words, in this way and so on, he showed himself. The Sea of Tiberias is more commonly called the Sea of Galilee in the Scriptures, but it is the same place. This was a familiar spot, of course, for Jesus and the disciples. We read of it oftentimes during the ministry of Christ. And now, after his resurrection, Jesus had asked the disciples to go up to Galilee and told them that he was going to meet them there. Look at verse number 2. It says, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples. We read about several of the disciples here that are gathered together, whether they became impatient waiting for Jesus to come meet them, or if they just wanted to try some adventure. Peter decides, well, let's go out fishing. Let's go out on the boat. And the other disciples, they all decide to join in with Peter. And so they weren't just waiting at Galilee for Christ. They decide, well, let's go fishing. You know, Jesus hasn't showed up. Let's go do something that we like to do. Let's go do what we want. And so that night they decide to go fishing. It's just a thought. But do we ever become tired of waiting for God to show up? Do we ever become tired of waiting for God to reveal his plan or to reveal his will for our lives? And so we just venture out to do something on our own. Do we do that sometimes? Little impatience with God, and he hasn't told us what to do, and maybe we've even prayed about something, and God hasn't told us clearly what he wants, and so we just go ahead and do something that we want to do. Look at verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. The disciples go out fishing that night, and what do they catch? Nothing. Not one fish. Nothing. Nothing. That does seem a little strange, doesn't it? You know, we know that several of these disciples, we know that they were expert fishermen. And they were in a lake. They were there at a place where I'm sure there was fish in that lake. You know, they didn't just all disappear for a few moments. They were expert fishermen in a place where there was lots of fish ready to be caught. But that night, when they ventured out on their own, when they got maybe a little tired and impatient with waiting for the Lord to instruct them in what's next, what does the Lord want us to do? When they ventured out on their own, that night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. Just a thought. Could it ever be that God purposefully does not allow us to succeed at something we attempt? Because there's actually something else He wants us to do. Could it be that sometimes God maybe allows us to fail in something that we're doing because we just kind of ventured out on our own to do it, and there's actually something different that the Lord is wanting us to do? The disciples fished all night and they caught nothing. You know, there's nothing wrong with Christians going fishing. But is it possible we're unsuccessful that night? They were unsuccessful that night because Jesus did not want these particular men to lose their focus on what God was wanting them to do? Is it possible that they failed? Is it possible that they caught nothing? Again, because they were simply doing it what they wanted. They were directing their own lives. They were venturing out on their own. And they weren't waiting. They weren't listening. They weren't focusing on what Christ had for them. Hold your place there in John, but turn back with me, if you would, maybe to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 4. Matthew is the very first book of the New Testament. We're going to come back to John 21, but I want you to see a few verses here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18 to 22. Matthew 4 and verse 18 to 22. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, in other words, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, their fishing nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." They followed Christ. Listen, these men were called of God to be fishers of men. They weren't called to be fishermen, fishermen. They were called to be fishers of men. There was something greater now that Christ had for their life. Fishers of men they were to become. And Christ, I believe, did not want them to lose their focus on what the Lord was calling them to do, on what the Lord had commissioned for them to do. Let me tell you something this morning. We will be happiest in life when we follow Christ. We will be happiest in life when we follow His will and when we fulfill His calling for our lives. When we do God's will, when we let the Lord direct our lives, we will be the happiest. When we come back, go back to John chapter 21. John 21. And when we come back to our story here, we see several disciples. They spend a night out on the boat fishing and they have nothing to show for it. They spend the whole night out on the waters. Great time to catch fish. But what do they get? Nothing. Nothing. The next morning, the sun comes up over the Golan Heights. The mountains there on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, and they see the sun rising. And Jesus is there standing on the seashore. And he's waiting to speak to the disciples. Look what it says, John 21. Look, begin in verse 3. "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No, no." Jesus, of course, knew that they did not catch any fish that night. But when Jesus asked the disciples if they have any meat to eat for breakfast, In other words, did they catch any fish? The disciples replied with just a short, quick answer. No. No. They probably did not want to talk about their failure. They probably didn't want to have to, you know, try to explain it away why they failed. But I want you to notice how Jesus responds to them and tells them what to do next. Look at verse 6. And he, meaning Jesus, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now their nets were so full. When they followed the Lord's directions, when they were waiting on the Lord, when they were listening to the Lord, when they were doing what the Lord Jesus told them to do, now their nets are so full of fishes that they can't even, you know, they don't even got the strength to pull it in, drag it into the boat. The whole thought here is this, that Jesus Christ directs the lives of his own. Jesus Christ directs the lives of God's children. Jesus Christ wants to be the Lord of our lives. He wants to be the one in charge. He wants to be the director. And listen, he deserves to be the director. He deserves to be in charge. He deserves to be the one that he instructs and we listen. He tells us what to do and we listen. He tells us which way to go and we listen. He deserves that. He has the right to be in charge. He ought to be the one giving the instructions, and we ought to be the ones listening to him and obeying him. I want you to notice this again, verse number 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. When the disciples fish according to his instructions, the nets are full. When they attempted to fish on their own, at their own directive, at their own will, according to their own plan and their own way and so on, according to their own timing, they failed. They caught nothing. They were absolutely unsuccessful. They failed. Nothing to show for it. But when they followed Christ's directions, the net does not break even though it's full. The net is strong. It's as strong and as powerful as the gospel is strong and able to save men. When the disciples would follow Christ's instructions and become witnesses for Christ. When the disciples would follow his directions and they would go on to become fishers of men. Listen, they would be successful. Their nets would be full spiritually. Peter would follow Christ. He would preach the gospel. He would preach the death, burial, and resurrection on the day of Pentecost. And what would happen? Thousands of people would end up getting saved and baptized in one day. Talk about having your nets full. Hey, when they followed the Lord's directions, things worked out. When they followed the Lord's directions to become fishers of men, God gave them a great catch. A great catch. As long as we try to be in charge of our life, as long as we try to direct our own will and to do what we want to do, listen, we are sure to have some failures. We are sure to come up empty. We are assured to attempt some things and to work hard at some things, but come up with nothing to show for it. Jesus wants to be the Lord of our lives. He wants to be in charge of your life. He wants to be the director of my life. He wants to be the director of your life. Let his will be done. Let him direct your life. Let him direct your service for him. Let him be the director. Let him be the one in charge. I want you to notice that when Peter recognizes that it's the Lord Jesus, Peter wants to get as close to the Lord as he possibly can. And as quickly as he possibly can. Look at verse 7. Once he recognizes it's the Lord, he tries to get as close as possible, as quickly as possible. Verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. John, the disciple who loved, John the beloved, he says, hey, I think that's the Lord on the shore. That's the Lord Jesus speaking to us. And Peter hears that and notice what he does. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him. He girded it up, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. He jumps out of the boat and swims to shore. He tries to get to shore. He tries to get to Jesus. He tries to get as close to the Lord as quickly as he possibly can. John had a spiritual perception that Peter did not have. Over 3 years earlier, it was somewhere near this same spot on the Sea of Galilee that Jesus had called them to follow him. Jesus had called them to follow him and to be his disciples and to become fishers of men. And now here in this morning, the Lord was calling his disciples again and trying to remind them of what he wanted them to do. Listen, I want you to be fishers of men. You're not fishermen any longer. You're to be fishers of men. And don't lose your focus on that. Don't you just go back to doing something that you think you're good at, because I'll make sure that you fail. You make sure you do what I want you to do. You know, we may get our idea in life sometimes. I've got my plans and I know what I want to do and I know some things that I'm good at. Listen, God can make you fail. He can make you fail if that's not what he wants you to do. Let the Lord direct your life. Let the Lord be in charge of your life. John had quicker discernment. But Peter, if you will, maybe had a greater zeal. Peter throws his coat back on. He jumps into the water to swim to Jesus, to get to the Lord as quickly and as close as possibly he could. The other men, they stayed seated in the boat and they rowed the boat to shore. But Peter swims to shore. Man, I want to get close to him. Peter can't wait. He wants to be close to his Lord. He wants to be close to Jesus. Peter probably did not want to make the same mistake that he made before, when he ended up following the Lord afar off, remember? He followed the Lord afar off that time, and remember the night when he ended up warming himself by the fire with the others and ended up denying the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times? I don't know him. Boy, now he wants things to be different. Peter realized, before, I blew it and I messed up and I didn't follow the Lord like I should. Now I want to get as close to him as I possibly can. Peter wanted to be close to the Lord. I think he now wanted the Lord to direct his life. I think he wanted the Lord to bless and to use his life. And listen, we ought to want to be that way too. We ought to be that way in our own lives, to say, Lord, I want to be close to you. I don't want to get apart from you. I want to follow you. I want to be close to you. And Lord, I want you to be in charge. Lord, I want you to direct my life. Lord, I want you to bless my life. I want you to use me. Look at verses 8 through 11, John 21 and verses 8 through 11. The Bible says, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. This is the last recorded miracle that Jesus performed here before his ascension. And I want you to notice a few things with me. When God does a miracle, he uses what people have. When God does a miracle, he uses what people have. The disciples were fishing and caught nothing all night. But then when Jesus got involved, he uses that same little ship that they had. He uses the same net that they had, and he performs a miracle. Isn't it a miracle when experienced fishermen fish all night and catch nothing, and then when they listen to Jesus, they catch 153 fish? So much that they couldn't even, it was too much weight that they couldn't even pull it into the boat. They just had to drag it to the shore. That's a miracle. What did the Lord use? He used what they had. He used their boat. He used their net. He used those men. The Lord gave them a great catch of fish when they were willing to do what they had, use what they had for the Lord. When they were willing to listen to him at the Lord's directions, to listen to his voice and what he instructed them to do. Listen, when people will use what they have to do what the Lord tells them to do, then miracles can happen. Miracles can happen. The Lord just uses whoever or whatever is available to him. If you're not available to the Lord can't use you. If you won't take what you have and say, God, it's yours. I want you to use it. I want you to bless it. I want you to do something. Then he can't. He uses what we have. He uses people that are willing. He uses whatever abilities it is that you have. That's what God uses for a miracle. At Cana, the Lord just used some old water pots. Oh, I'm just some old water pots. I'm just a water pot. He just used some water pots that were empty and available, and he did a miracle. In the Old Testament, God just asked Moses what was in his hand. What was in his hand? Well, it was just a rod. But God used that rod in Moses' hand to perform miracles for his people Israel. Listen, God can use whatever it is we have. He can use it from whomever is willing to say, Lord, it's yours. Lord, take it. Lord, use it. And God can perform a miracle. God used the lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Why? Because there was a little boy that was willing to say, Lord, you can be the director. Lord, you can be the director. Lord, this is yours. Lord, this is yours. So many times people wish they could be in some other place or have what someone else has, or maybe be able to do something that someone else can do. But you know something? The Lord can use just what we have if we'll let Him be Lord. If we'll let Him be the director. If we'll let Him be in charge. If we take and say, it's mine. It's my life. It's my resources. It's my money. It's my time. I'll do whatever I want with it. Fine. You go ahead. But I'd much rather let the Lord be the director. I'd much rather let the Lord be in charge. Because He's the one that can do miracles. He's the one that can use us. He's the one that can bless us. Far greater than when we attempt to just do things on our own and with what we've got and according to our plans. Let Him be in charge. Let Him be the Lord. Let Him be the director. What God does, He does in abundance. As to leave no doubt that it was a miracle. That it was God's power and ability, not our own. It's unexplainable otherwise to say how they can go from having caught nothing to now they've got 153 fish. And God just happens to write out the number in there just to show, hey, look how much of a failure you are without me. 0 versus 153. Hey, isn't it far better to let the Lord be the director? Isn't it far better to let the Lord be in charge? What God does, He does in abundance. It was a miracle what He did. It was according to God's power and ability, not theirs. When God fed the thousands, there was even 12 buckets full that were left over afterwards. What was that? That was God's power. When the disciples fished all night and caught nothing, things happened when they started following the Lord's instructions. Now the net was full. Now they had 153 fish. Hey, what the Lord does is good, and what the Lord does, He does in abundance, and it's far better than anything we can ever do on our own. When the disciples came in their boat to the shore of Galilee, Jesus already had a little fire going there. And did you think about those verses as we read it? Wasn't it interesting? Jesus didn't even really need right off those fish that they drug in, that they dragged in their net to the shore. Jesus already had some fish going. He had a fire going. He had some fish frying. They were going to have some breakfast. He was already there preparing for them. The Lord, who cared about them, was on the seashore. Waiting for those fishermen, who'd probably be a little discouraged fishing all night and catching nothing. Waiting for those men to see Him and listen to Him. Follow His directions. Jesus was there at the shore and He was preparing something for them to eat. He already had some bread and some fish for them. But Jesus says to the disciples as well, He says, bring what you have. Bring some of the fish that you caught. Notice that Jesus accepts what we have to offer Him. The Lord accepts their service. They had followed His command and Christ accepted now what they had to bring. What they had to bring. We should never be worried about what we have to bring or what we have to offer God. We may sometimes think, well, I don't have much. I don't have much to bring to Him. I can't give him much. I'm not much. It doesn't matter with him. It has never mattered. He accepts what we have to bring. He accepts what we have to offer. We're not to compare ourselves with some who may seem to have more to give God than we do. Well, maybe some seemingly have more talents, or some have more abilities, or some have more whatever. That doesn't matter. Look what the Bible says there in verse 12 and 13. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. He gave them bread. He gave them fish. He fed them. There is sweet joy, and there is sweet fellowship with the Lord. There is sweet fulfillment in our lives when we just follow the Lord's directions and when we do what He wants us to do. They'd have tried to, you know, go out on their own. They got tired of waiting, and they did what they wanted to do, and that night they failed. But once they saw the Lord and recognized the Lord and listened to the Lord's directives, they let the Lord be in charge. Then they cast out their nets, the other side, the right side of the boat. Boy, and they were blessed abundantly. Nets so full that they had to drag them into shore. A loving Lord there on the seashore that when they got there was waiting for them with a fire going and bread for them and fish for them to eat. A Lord who was willing to accept what they had brought in, what they caught that night, and what they had to offer now. What they had to maybe add to the meal, to the breakfast. He just accepted whatever they had. And now, boy, what sweet joy, what sweet fellowship. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. We may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He says, come and dine. Come spend some time with me. Oh, come sit down with me. Come enjoy the fire. Come enjoy the fish. Come enjoy the bread. Hey, come enjoy spending time with me. There's nothing better than enjoying that with the Lord. Sweet joy and fellowship when we follow the Lord's directions in our lives and when we do what He wants us to do. Let the Lord be the director. Let the Lord be the one in charge of your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the story that we see this morning and how gracious you are with us and how patient you are with us and long-suffering. We many times may be like the disciples where we get tired of waiting. We get tired of praying. We just decide for ourselves what we want to do. We look at our abilities and we think we know what's best for our lives. We make our own plans. We try to be in charge. But Lord, I see in this story that you are patient. And that even when we at times may kind of start to drift and lose our focus on what you've really want us to do, you can find a way to draw us back. Lord, I do thank you that the disciples recognized you and listened to you. And they learned that when they followed your directions and they let you be the Lord and they let you be in charge, things were far better. God, help us to learn that same lesson.